Welcome back to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. Joined now by Riley Gates at GoParacat.com to talk K-State athletics. Riley, how's it going today, man?
Good. I don't want to say a relaxing time right now because we're still doing some work, but spring football's wrapped up, and so now we're kind of in the easier part of the year for us. So it's kind of nice to take a breath and get to step away for a little bit. I'm sure you know that as well as anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, but you're balancing a couple of things here because you're going to K-State's going to let you graduate. You've probably got it down to the hour and minutes to where you're officially a college graduate.
I actually do. I have an app on my phone.
Oh my goodness! There's an app for that? My lord!
There's an app that counts down, and so it is counting down to 8:30 a.m. on Saturday, May 12th. That's when my ceremony starts.
How often do you look at that app?
About every day.
Okay,
if not twice a day.
Yeah. Okay. Doesn't that seem like it's going to be longer to get to that point if you keep looking at it?
Well, the thing is, I've had it on there since school started.
Oh wow! So you're used to it.
Probably. Well, yeah, I'm used to it at this point, but I think it's shorter to think about when I don't look at it, so maybe I should try to stop looking at it so much.
There you go. Well, you hopefully won't be looking at it when we have you on now, and that'll at least get your mind off of that, and let's talk K-State athletics. Riley Gates, our guest today at GoParacat.com. Okay, let's start with football, of course, in the spring game. What were your overall impressions and your thoughts? Any surprises after what you saw from the spring game last weekend?
In terms of surprises, I guess probably just the depth at wide receiver kind of panned out to what we had been kind of hearing a little bit of. You know, you lose Byron Pringle turning pro, and a lot of people begin to say, I'm not really sure about this whole replacing Byron Pringle. You're relying on Dalton Schoen. And, you know, a lot of people just didn't think that K-State had the depth at wide receiver to really fill that void. But it looks like they're going to be just fine at wide receiver this year. The standout was Jabastian Taylor, the redshirt freshman, who we have been hearing just so much about. And he went for 118 yards and two scores in that game. And, you know, he's a physical beast, I guess, for lack of a better term. He's so big and he's strong. He's still trying to figure some things out. But, man, he showed a lot of promise there at wide receiver. And then also Landry Weber did. Kind of out of nowhere, it seems like, you know, another son of Stan Weber. But, you know, those were two guys that were really strong on wide receiver, and that didn't even include, you know, Dalton Schoen and Isaiah Zuber and Isaiah Harris. So I think they're going to be really, really deep at wide receiver this year. I think they're going to have a lot of success there. And then also, I guess I would throw in there the balance at quarterback. You know, I didn't really think it was all that close of a quarterback battle this year, but it sounds like it's shaping up to be quite the battle in this offseason.
Anything change for you in your mind as to who you think should be the quarterback come opening day based on what happened in the spring game, or is your feeling the same as it was going in?
I'm still the same. I guess you could say I changed to a certain extent. I guess this spring game showed me that I might be a little bit more comfortable with Alex Delton if he were to win the job than I may have initially been. But I still think it needs to be Skylar Thompson. I still think he has the highest potential there. I think what he can do throwing the football is just something special. You know, one thing that Fitz always says is he thinks that Alex has more potential to grow as a passer than Skylar has potential to grow as a runner. And I would agree with that. But also, just everything I've seen out of Skylar Thompson in his small sample size is that this is a kid whose talent is just far too good to pass on. I'd hate to see it sitting on the sideline. But also, the same goes for Alex Delton. I mean, you know, you don't want that athleticism just burning a hole on the sideline. So it's going to be quite the battle. We're not going to know until a week before the season starts who really won the job. And you know, they said they flipped a coin to decide who got to go out there with the number one offense. And I kind of thought that wasn't necessarily true, but I think it really is. I really think this is a lot closer than at least I had anticipated, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how this summer plays out and who really kind of takes a step forward, because this is one of those systems where if you take one day off, you might lose your job. So it's going to be a very interesting battle.
Did you get any kind of read on the coordinators and what they may do a little bit differently in regards to play calling on offense and also the defensive calls?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing we saw out of Brian Norwood The new secondaries coach at K-State, and I guess you can add in Blake Seilers, the new defensive coordinator, is I don't think K-State's going to be playing off the receivers so much, you know, giving them those 10-yard cushions that they usually do to catch the ball. I think that it won't be as much bend but don't break as K-State's played in the past under Tom Hayes. I think you're going to see a lot more aggressive defense this season, so I'm really looking forward to that if that pans out the way I think. And on the offensive side of the ball, with Andre Coleman calling the plays now, you know, they did not show a lot of what I think they're going to do. You know, we've been hearing a lot that they're going to run some two running back system, you know, maybe with Alex Barnes and Mike McCoy in the backfield. But Mike McCoy didn't play. He was injured. And, you know, they obviously don't want to show their hand too much in the spring game. So I don't think we saw the entire offensive playbook, but just kind of little things here and there, you know. There were an awful lot of passes out to running backs out in the flats, which is something we have not seen out of K-State recently. It's just not been in Dana Dimmel's play calling, and you know that's a more pro style type of play to run, something that NFL teams like to do more than colleges. And you know, Andre Coleman obviously played in the NFL, so I think the offense is going to be a little bit more pro. I guess pro style is probably not the right word to use there, but I just think you're going to see a lot of different things out of this offense that maybe you haven't seen as much. It's still going to be a lot of quarterback running, still going to be a lot of handed off to Alex Barnes, but I'm not saying they're going to go five wide and Hail Mary every play, but I think we're going to see some real big change. I think they're going to throw the ball a lot more than they have and maybe rely on that a little bit more just because of Coach Coleman taking over.
And see, if in fact they do that, I think that would lend to what you're saying, is that Skylar Thompson, if you're going to throw the ball more, whether it's fair or not for Alex Delton, we still think of him as more of a running quarterback, and Skylar is certainly the better passer. That would lend to the thinking that Skylar might have the edge maybe because of that?
Yeah, and that's kind of what my angle on that argument has been, was that I thought they would throw the ball more, and so therefore I would guess that Skylar would be the guy. Just because I think Alex is a good throwing quarterback, and I think he can do some things in this offense with throwing the ball, but there's just sometimes there's certain things you can't learn to do. So, I mean, Skylar just has a lot of gifts, and one of those gifts is he's able to put the ball wherever he wants, it seems like. He'll find the smallest of holes or the smallest of pockets and just hit a guy with a pass. So I just think that might be, if that's the direction that Coach Coleman takes this offense, I think that's probably his best bet, is to roll with Skylar Thompson there.
Is K-State going to throw a few screen passes to the running backs this year?
I hope. I have missed the screen pass. I hope the screen pass comes back. I hope the tight end pass comes back. Those are two things that we have not seen out of K-State in forever, and it really kind of blows my mind. Granted, Dayton Valentine wasn't the greatest of tight ends in terms of catching the ball.
Right.
But, man, that's just, you know, you when you watch K-State, you learn their offense really quick. You know what they're going to do. Throw in those little screens here and there. It catches them off guard. Throw to the tight end. I want to see those type of plays be brought back out this year.
How much input do you think Colin Klein has or will? Do you think his role will expand as the season goes on?
I do. I think that he, being that recency, you know, within the last however many years playing quarterback, he understands it a lot. I don't want to say he understands the offense better than Coach Snyder or Coach Coleman, but he knows what it's like to be in that system. You know, Coach Snyder likes to run the quarterback, and that's fine. They're going to run the quarterback a lot. But also, you know, Colin Klein understands you cannot run the quarterback 24 times a game for 12 games a season. Otherwise, that is not going to work. And sometimes you kind of get the feel that, like, hey, maybe the coaches don't really grasp just how physically demanding it is on their quarterbacks to keep doing that. I think to have somebody that has been in the system as recent as, what, seven years ago, that it's going to benefit K-State because they're going to have that type of experience. And, I don't know how much players really tell coaches, I'm hurt, I can't do this, I can't do that. And, you know, having Colin Klein there might be able to give them that voice that they kind of need. I do think Colin Klein is going to be a very big part of this offense just because he was a very gifted player, and he's just incredibly smart, and he just gets it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Riley Gates, he's with GoPowerCat.com. You can read his work there. What's the latest story that you have up on the website now?
Well, actually, just released a little feature on Landry Weber, like I mentioned at the beginning of the show here. So we've got that up there. We recorded a podcast last night, which is free for all listeners, and a few other things here from recruiting, a few other player features. So we've got all those, and within the next week or two, we're going to get rolling on some fun and creative things, kind of some different things we haven't done really before at Go Powercat, and we're really excited about that because it's the off season and we don't have access to the football program. Basketball program is limited, so we're going to try to do some unique and fun things this summer. We're really looking forward to it.
You have to be creative. I get that. What is your biggest concern right now for the football team before they open the season? If there's one area of concern for you, what would it be?
I think it's just getting guys to fill holes on the defensive side of the ball. You know, there's a huge hole with the graduation of Will Geary at defensive tackle. They got to put essentially three linebackers or two linebackers, whatever system they want to run there. Essentially, with new names, Elijah Sullivan and Sam Feisler are the only guys that really have a lot of experience. And you've got to fill a cornerback spot in DJ Reed's departure. So I think they have the guys that can step up and fill those holes. They're not going to be as effective as the thing. And so just because, I mean, those are all Americans you're trying to replace there. So who steps up on that defensive side of the ball? Who becomes, you know, does Trey Deshaun become the next Will Geary? Does somebody else become the next Trey Deshaun? And, you know, how does that end up getting filled? Who takes the pressure off of Duke Shelley by being a strong corner on the other side? So I think they've got guys on the defensive side of the ball that can play. I just need to see them in action and kind of see how this defense comes together, because the defense took a really big hit this year.
There is a new rule that's going to take place this year, and it'll be interesting because K-State is so good on special teams. They're good with their coverage units. They're terrific in the return game. I'd like to get your input on that, because it's about player safety, that if there is a kickoff and anywhere inside between the goal line and the 25, the kickoff returner can call for a fair catch. Calls for that fair catch automatically goes to the 25. What are your thoughts on that, and then how does K-State deal with it?
Well, I understand it, you know, safety or whatever. I personally don't like it, just because I've always loved kickoffs. I think they're just a great part of the game because they're so unique and gives teams another way to score or do some damage. So I was really disappointed to hear about that rule. And it'll hurt K-State to a certain extent, I think, because, you know, everybody wants to talk about K-State's return game all the time. Well, their coverage unit is so good, too.
Yes.
I mean, they're very good about pinning the ball at the 2 or the 3 and making you return it, and then they get to tackle you at, you know, say the 12 or something like that. So nowadays, if they kick it anywhere that isn't out of the end zone or before the 25, they're going to just call for a fair catch and take the ball at the 25. So it's going to hurt their coverage unit a lot in making those big plays. But, you know, I can't take credit for this idea. This is kind of one that Fitz pointed out, and I guess I kind of agree with it to a certain extent. You know, you're going to have so many teams that just choose to fair catch the ball because they want it at the 25,
right,
obviously, and then they don't have to, you know, risk injury, risk a fumble or anything like that. So with that happening, so many other coverage units are going to be anticipating people to fair catch it. That's just what they're going to do. They're going to get kind of lazy,
yep,
in their coverage, and then you're going to have a team like K-State who, yeah, they might catch the ball at the 10, and it might be more ideal to call for a fair catch and take it to the 25, but they're probably going to roll with it. You know, they're probably going to try to risk the chances and try to score, and maybe that coverage unit isn't quite ready for a team to really return it like that. So I think K-State, while the rule is not great for K-State overall, I think they're going to find a way to, you know, still be K-State, still find a way to get a lot of returns, either deep returns or returns for touchdowns this season, which, you know, obviously is going to be very beneficial for K-State, and it's just another aspect where they can really burn other teams at.
You know, it's going to be interesting to me from this standpoint that it's going to be a little bit more on the kick returner. There's one extra decision to make. You know, it's, if you take it in the end zone, it's a touchback, but if you're at the 2, you know you're bringing it out no matter what. You know, you're going from the 2 and you're going to return it, whereas now you have the option of a fair catch. I think to simplify it, teams that are good or have really good kick returners aren't going to fair catch it very often because of what you said, the opportunity to get the big play, and some teams will relax a little bit. And I think the teams that aren't very good at blocking up front, setting up a wedge and returning it, are just going to say, you know what, we'll take our chances at the 25.
Yeah, I completely agree, and that's what's unfortunate for K-State is they've, like I said, they've been so good at pinning teams within their own 20 or, you know, before the 25, and so now that they're probably going to have that opportunity taken from them a lot next season. So they're going to play a lot of, there's going to be a lot of opposing possessions that begin at the 25-yard line for the K-State defense.
Let's shift gears to the men's basketball program, and Riley Gates at GoPowerCat.com, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. You certainly covered this very, very closely in regards to Austin Trice and his recruitment. Tell us about him and how he fits into K-State's team next year.
Well, he's not a very tall guy per se. They list him as 6'7". I question if he is 6'7". Probably, you know, 6'5", 6'6", something like that. But despite not being very tall as a postman, he is one of the best rebounders in JUCO in the country this year. He actually led rebounding in junior college for around 75% of the season. So he averaged around 12 rebounds a game, which is something K-State desperately needed to add this year just because their rebounding was pitiful last year. It was just so bad, I can't believe it didn't cost them in more games. So he can do that. He brings that presence to the floor. Also defensive, obviously, that's big for Bruce Weber. And he can score the ball. I wouldn't say he's a scorer, averaged around 12 points a game, which was nice, but that's not going to be his main role. His role is going to be rebounding the ball and playing good defense, which is nice because that'll give guys like McCall Moline a quick breather or Dean Wade a quick breather. And he even might battle for a starting spot. I don't know. I don't really know just how far away he is from that. But I think it's a really good addition for K-State, something that they obviously needed and they knew that they didn't really have in terms of taking that next step or having that next big man presence down low. So that was a great addition by Bruce Weber. A lot of people question, you know, are JUCO guys really worth it? Well, this one was, and it's a good get.
Brian Patrick leaving, Sala leaving, Wainwright, of course, you know some of the issues he's dealing with off the court. They still have one scholarship available, right?
Yeah, with Brian Patrick's departure, they are down to one available now.
Okay, I would guess they're going to plan on filling it. What are they looking at in regards to adding and filling that spot?
Well, they're hitting the transfer market hard right now, and this wouldn't be an immediate, immediate impact player. They would have to sit out for this season just because of the transfer rules. And two guys they're really in on hard is one is Anthony Tark. He is a guard from NJIT and averaged around 14 or 15 points a game last season. Excuse me. And the other one is Parker Stewart, who's out of Pittsburgh. He decommitted after Pittsburgh fired their coach, Kevin Stallings. So those are two guys that they're really in hard on. Tark is coming this weekend for a visit, I believe, unless those plans have changed. I haven't heard otherwise, so I still anticipate him being here this weekend and checking out the campus. And then Parker Stewart is one that he's really strongly considering K-State. He's just very tough in terms of getting any sort of comment from, doesn't exactly like to pick up the phone a whole lot or really talk about his own recruitment. So still digging a little bit on him, but those are two names that they're really working hard on. I imagine if they were to miss on both of them, they would probably sit on the scholarship for a while and see if something else opened up. But, as of right now, those are the two big targets they're after.
Is there any new news on Dean Wade recovering from his injury?
Well, he's out of the boot. I do know that. He's out of his walking boot, so he's back on track. I think he's still two, three weeks away from being able to play competitively, and that's really why he didn't enter the draft this year, to get that feedback, just because he probably wouldn't be able to be as effective as he really could have been if he was healthy. So he's on the right track. He should be good to go soon, but just not quite there yet. He's almost back.
Gotcha. All right, time for a couple off-the-wall questions. Riley Gates of GoPowerCat.com, our guest here on the Sports Ticket. Is it true, can you confirm or deny, is it true that Whataburger will be catering your graduation party?
I wish. You know, I should have had Dusty work on that when he was coming back from Texas.
That's
that would have been incredible. Unfortunately, no. It will be Cox Brothers Barbecue, which I guess is a close second to Whataburger.
I had Whataburger for the first time in my life coming back from San Antonio, and I liked it, but I think that the hype was so big from you and Fitz and other people I see on social media bragging it up, It's like when you go to a movie and everybody tells me how great the movie is, and then you go and the movie wasn't as good as you maybe expected, but you still liked it, compared to a movie you knew nothing about that you go and you see, and you're like, oh, you know what? That was a pleasant surprise, but really it wasn't any better than the other movie. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes complete sense, and I've heard that from a lot of people that we overhype it, but I personally do not care because I love Whataburger.
Okay, so that leads me to my last off-the-wall question. What's the best item on the Whataburger menu?
Oh, I actually wrestle with that a lot because we get asked that a lot on the podcast. You know, it's tough to go from the traditional burgers because it's so good, but I really like the patty melt. The patty melt is, it's really good. It's like a double burger, so you get the traditional burger. You're not going with chicken or anything like that, but just kind of the sauce that's on the patty melt. I really like it. I know that Dusty can speak to that for me. The patty melt is probably my favorite menu on the item. Item on the menu. Excuse me. Wow.
You're so excited, man. I'm drooling right now. I haven't eaten much here this morning, so that sounds really good to me. Riley, I'll go ahead and let you announce it. You and I talked about this yesterday. We're looking forward to this. We have a consistent presence during the season with KU Athletics with the voice of Jayhawks, Brian Haney, throughout the football and basketball seasons. And so in order to be fair, we want to have equal representation. No, not that this is a political race or anything between KU and K-State, but you're going to be the version of Brian Haney for us for K-State. Is that right?
Wow, that's quite the comparison, I guess.
Sure, you're going to be our voice of the Wildcats. How's that?
Fair enough. Yeah, no, I will be here whenever you need me to talk, and I'm looking forward to it. Not only because I enjoy talking about K-State on the radio and everything, but it'll be good to get back in the area and people can hear my voice again. Because, you know, I know people are missing me probably since I'm not really around the area. I know they're probably missing me. They want to hear from me. So
absolutely.
I'm very happy to be back and, talk some K-State with you guys. And I just share my takes and everything. We'll see how it goes. It should be a fun year. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it really should be. Riley, thanks for the time. We'll talk again later on this summer. Best of luck with graduation and take care of yourself, all right?
Thank you very much, Wade.
That's Riley Gates of GoPowerCat.com, our guest today on the Sports Ticket.